The Treasury Secretary says we shouldn't worry. For some people, that's worrying. In D.C., I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. Last week was the worst week for the Dow since 2008. The Nasdaq is officially in a bear market. Meanwhile, the president reportedly asked his advisors if he could fire Fed Chair Jay Powell, something many people found alarming. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin has since tried to defuse those reports. He tweeted that the president did not suggest firing the Fed chair and didn't believe he had the authority to do so. Then the Treasury Secretary released a statement that some found puzzling. Marketplace's Renata Sego joins us. Renata, what did that statement say?
Treasury Secretary Mnuchin's statement said he called up the CEOs of the nation's six biggest banks and asked them if they have enough credit to loan to American businesses and consumers, and that they confirmed they do. Mnuchin's statement went on to say that today he's planning to get some Fed leaders on a call to discuss keeping market operations normal.
So what do American banks' lending capabilities have to do with anything right now?
There's no direct connection here. Brian Lawson is a risk analyst for IHS Markets. He says this appears to be a precautionary measure, even though there's no real threat.
There's nothing in the numbers from the U.S. banking system that suggests that there is a sudden deterioration of U.S. economic conditions to such point that the banks are going to become stressed.
He says if anything would be affecting the stock market right now, it'd be the asset management companies. A lot of fund managers have withdrawn money from the stock market within the past week. Lawson and other analysts say Mnuchin's statement has more to do with reports over the weekend that President Trump's considering firing the Fed chair, Jay Powell, whom he appointed earlier this year. If it were to happen, that could affect the stock market, which is perhaps why Mnuchin is trying to calm investors down now.
Marketplace, Renata Sego, thank you. And let's do the numbers. The Dow and S&P futures are up in the 4 to 5/10% range, with the Dow future up 87 points. Women in the U.S. pay more for health care than women in other developed nations, but they are less healthy. That is just one of the findings from a new study from the Commonwealth Fund that surveyed more than 9,000 women in 11 developed nations. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
Some of the conclusions of the report are startling. Women in the U.S., for instance, had the highest maternal mortality rate of the country studied, 14 maternal deaths out of every 100,000 live births. Sarah Collins is one of the study's authors. She says pregnant women in the U.S. have
higher rates of chronic illness, higher rates of emotional distress, and higher rates of cesarean sections.
The study also found that access to health care and costs can be a problem.
Almost 40% of U.S. women said they didn't get health care because of the cost.
And about 11 million women in the U.S. are uninsured. Even those with insurance may face other problems. Danya Palanker is with Georgetown University's Center on Health Insurance Reforms.
They're not able to get to the doctor because that doctor visit requires time off work that might not be paid for.
And there are co-pays. More than a quarter of the U.S. women in the study said they spent $2,000 or more in out-of-pocket medical costs. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Marketplace is more than a radio program. As a nonprofit news organization, we strive to provide a public service that fulfills a vital mission. Now is the time to show that you value what you learn from Marketplace. Invest in the news you trust, and your donation will go twice as far, thanks to our friends at Candida. Give today at marketplace.org and keep reliable, independent journalism going strong. Thank you.
Writing a Christmas album is a way for a band to branch out, but it also has risks. The band Hanson is well aware of that. They've put out two Christmas records, 20 years apart, Snowed In 1997, and then Finally It's Christmas just last year. They came by the studio recently to talk about the tightrope walk that is the Christmas album.
It is incredibly intimidating to write Christmas songs because essentially, unlike anything else you do, you're saying, okay, here's a classic.
The thing that bugs me about Christmas records sometimes is it seems like people will become some other version of themselves, or people will get like really awkwardly kitschy, and you're like, I'm sorry, putting Twitter into a Christmas lyric is really risky. You know, it's like,
is it ever okay to put Twitter in a lyric?
Yeah, exactly.
You have this blessing of like, man, there are only 10 things I can talk about. It's like snow, food, Santa, mom, and food again. You know, the problem is, of course, that everyone has talked about those things. And so that's why I say it's really important to put yourself in the context of the song.
Music is this thing where you have this strange, powerful weapon. It's like you can, like Arnold Schwarzenegger, you can like turn around all of a sudden, open a closet, and it just has rocket launchers like in Commando. There's something very cool about that arsenal when going to a record, but you also have to use it very wisely. It's almost like you have this really powerful thing that suddenly is at your disposal. You have permission to use, but you also have permission to like blow yourself up with it if used poorly.
It's sort of like garlic.
Yeah.
People who don't listen to country music still listen to Dolly Parton around Christmas time. People who don't listen to jazz fusion still hear Kenny G around Christmas time.
A lot of people do Christmas records purely for that callous reason, but it was really cool to see, you know, as we've gone through more than 25 years of music and everything is changing around us, that was and still is a record that kept us connected to a lot of people no matter what.
You really can't look at streaming as a really great revenue source. And so everything you do in that realm has to be seen from a perspective of a very long tail. This is going to come back in 5 or 10 or 15 years.
An interesting way to get to know where we've come from when you're going to be listening to Christmas music is to buy both of those records or stream them, however you, and you'll get a quick like, oh, this band that I just heard talk about Christmas, this is where they've been.
People who don't like our other music will say, man, I don't listen to your records, but every Christmas I put on Snowed In.
That was Isaac Taylor and Zach Hansen. We talked more with them and other artists about the Christmas music business, and you can find more of that at marketplace.org. In Washington, D.C., I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.